Beach baptism is always an awesome time, and I will give you just this little update. We're praying against the algae in the red tide, but Pastor Holly did tell me that she was just on Lido Beach a little while ago, and she was not toxic. So, but she said, we will comply with the county. If they say don't go, we will either do baptisms here or we may delay it on the beach. But we just want you to come and connect and to reconnect because it is good to do life together. Okay, thanks, Stephanie. It's good to do life together. You know, as I just thank the Lord and I thank Pastor Scott for allowing me the opportunity to share this morning. Each week I share down in the traditional service, but it's a little different when I get to see all of your smiling faces. And as I was preparing this week, I really wanted to speak a message that I was, you know what, I had my notes. I actually started weeks ago, and this week the Lord changed. He said, before you can go there, you must come here. And I thought, you know, it's better to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So much in our society, in our bookstores, on television, is focused on leadership. Be the leader you can be. Become the leader you can be. Lead those that are around you. And there are so many. I actually have, I think, 9 books from one author on leadership. And while I do admire John Maxwell, and value some of his insights, I look at a much greater leader than John Maxwell. His name is Jesus. And Jesus is the greatest leader of all time. And this is not in your notes, but you might want to write it down. I give you lots of extra lines, not just the fill in the blanks, because I might say something that you go, hey, that works. Let me tell you this, and you can write it in your notes if you want, but Jesus is far, 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 far more interested in your followership than your leadership. You see, when we are true followers of Jesus, we come together to live in community, to connect one with another. And when we live in true community, one with another, as followers of Jesus, we comprise the church. Some people, though, have dropped out of church. They've dropped out of church because they've been rejected, because they've been mistreated, because they have felt that, oh yeah, we love you, but you have to change. When Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Don't worry about the leadership. Follow me. Just look at me. Come after me and become who I have created you to be. It didn't matter whether he was talking to sinners, to believers, to unbelievers, to people with lots of faith, to people with little faith, to people with no faith. He just said, come on. You might want to write this down too. Jesus didn't give us a rule book. He gave us an invitation. An invitation to follow me. And sometimes we try to assemble rules or our thoughts as to how things have to go. And sometimes we even isolate parts of God's word and we think this is why we have to do it that way. Jesus was talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 24, then Jesus said to who? His disciples, those who are already following after him. And he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we tend to look at, okay, these are the rules. You have to do this, then that, then follow me. But that is not the way it started out. How did it start? Well, it starts with living life in relationship. You know, Jesus didn't come to institute a religion. He came to build a relationship. He came to connect your heart with heaven, with his heavenly Father, so that your heart would be his home. And when he came to do that, I'm so thankful that we are able right now. I can see all y'all. Your smiling faces. Well, some of you not so smiling, but I can see all of your faces because we have all of these rows lined up. But you know, when Jesus came, he didn't want you just to sit in rows for all of your life. He invites us to come into relationship, and in relationship, that means we have to live life in circles. We have to get connected. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. We have to live in relationship, and relationship lives in connection. So when we start a relationship, starting a relationship. Oh, Pastor, you're getting serious now. You know, I know some of y'all, and I know that the first time that you saw the woman of your dreams across the room, you were a little scared to go across there. But you followed your heart across the room. And then you had to start a little conversation. Hi, my name is. Your name is. So nice to see you. And then you had to work up the courage to. Would you like to go to coffee with me? How about could we do dinner? McDonald's, big spender. You see, you started a relationship. Now, how did that relationship start? It starts the same way to connect with Jesus. It starts with an invitation, and that invitation with Jesus is to follow him. If we are going to start a life on a journey of faith that is going to lead to the fulfillment of our hearts, because that's what Jesus does. He reaches out to fulfill your heart. It is an invitation to follow him. Let's look at when Jesus first started inviting people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. This is Jesus just being Jesus. Now, as Jesus was just walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And what were they doing? They were casting nets. I don't think that they were trying to catch bait fish like we would here at the Gulf of Mexico. No, they were casting nets into the sea. Why? Because they were fishermen. And he said to them, he gave them that invitation, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In a snap, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Now, Jesus, where was Jesus? Jesus was just walking by. Where were they? They were in the middle of their day, in the middle of their business, in the middle of their life. But Jesus was walking by, and he wanted to give them an invitation to come and to connect with him, to learn from him, to walk in his ways, to walk in this journey of faith that is a relationship with heaven in your heart. At least 7 times in the scripture, it lays out just like this, where he was just walking by, and he says, follow me. And Jesus, he reaches out. He reaches out by speaking out this invitation. And he invites Peter and Andrew. He invites you and me. He invites us, hey, come along. Come along. Follow me. Now, this is a beautiful picture, if you'll understand this, because we talked about all of these rules that we tend to institute. But Jesus said, follow me. So what did you have to do? Follow. Okay, and who is going to do the rest of this work? Jesus. Because Jesus says, if you follow me, I will do the heavy lifting. I will make you fishers of men. I will shape you. I will do the work. Oh, what a beautiful thought. That as we follow him, he does the work in our hearts, in our lives. He is working on me because I need lots of work. He's taking off the rough edges. He's making me into what he wants me to be. Not what I need to be, what I want to be, but what I need to be. Because he's made that promise. If I will follow him, that's what he will do. And when Jesus came by with these invitations, this is a thing of beauty. He reached out and invited the rich, the poor. He invited the spiritual, the not so spiritual. He invited the religious. He invited the not religious. He invited the powerful, and he invited the weak. So who gets this invitation? Everyone. Now, in case you're wondering, everyone means everyone. So that means that not one is excluded, right? Now, I want you to look at this second phrase. Not just the qualified. We tend to disqualify ourselves from that invitation. That's what we think within ourselves because of the twisted thoughts that we have from within our hearts and from within our past. And we think there's no way Jesus could reach out to me to help me, to connect with me, to invite me. But that's exactly what he did. Take a look. Now, you think, here's a radical portion of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Now you're going, well, what's so radical about the Scripture? Let's read it together and see what's so radical. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew. Well, might have written the book of Matthew. Sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. Okay, that doesn't really seem radical. Doesn't that sound a little bit like what we just read with Peter and Andrew? It sounds like it, doesn't it? Except, let me just explain this. Jesus was the Messiah who was sent to the nation of Israel. So, Jewish lad. And he reached out to Peter and Andrew, who were good Jewish boys, fishermen, honest, upright, yeah. He reached out. That was okay, so that was pretty normal. But I want to point something out that you may not be fully aware of. Matthew, also known as Levi, the son of Alphaeus, okay? This is Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector. Now, I know some of you are just thinking about the IRS right now. But let me tell you, your thoughts of the IRS hold nothing towards what the Jews thought about tax collectors. Tax collectors were regarded as thieves. They were hated. They were despised. They were the lowest of the low. They took from the Jews. They took from their own people, and they remitted to the Romans. You know that if you were a tax collector in those days, that you were not allowed to go to temple. Now you think, well, so I couldn't go to church. No, no, no. Temple to the Jewish person at the time was what it meant to connect with society, what it meant to have relationships. So Matthew was absolutely disqualified in the minds of every other person there. So what would this rabbi, this Jesus do, reaching out to the scum? Yeah, that's what people would think of him. This, They would have thought he was within his rights, Jesus, to go in as the rabbi and say, "Your mama must be so proud," in a sarcastic tone of voice. But that's not what he did. Jesus reached out to Matthew and said, "Follow me." He did it so that you and I would understand that when God qualifies you, that's all you need. What the world says is disqualified, what you say is disqualified, doesn't apply, because Jesus says, "I qualify you. I put my stamp of approval on you when I give you my invitation and say, come, come and follow me. Connect with my heart. Live in relationship. And I will let you pen the first book in the New Testament, the new covenant that I'm writing with my blood." That's what he said to Matthew by his invitation. That's what he says to you. That's what he says to me. It says that Jesus breaks the rules. Jesus breaks down the barriers. And that's what we need to understand. Jesus breaks through every barrier, breaks down every wall, and says, "Come, let's live together in community." He invites everyone. No matter how disqualified somebody might think they are, or somebody might think somebody else is, Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And when he does that, some people go, "Okay, yeah, I get that. Jesus, that sounds good. When I follow you, I'm just gonna kind of add you to the mix." Okay, I'm just going to have everything else that I had up until now, and then I'm going to have, I'm just going to add Jesus in. No, this is not Jesus plus. This is Jesus only. He becomes the focus. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he does, there is a cost. So we need to evaluate what is the cost to following Jesus. There is a cost, and the cost is everything for everyone. Oh boy, that doesn't hit some people really well. It didn't hit the rich young ruler, or what I call in my notes, because my notes look just like yours, except I write in my margins where you should be writing. I write down "rich dude." It really says "rich dude" in my notes. And Jesus, this rich dude came to Jesus and said, Hey, Jesus, I want to be one of your disciples. I want to be just like one of the guys here. I want to live in a relationship with you. I just want to connect. I want to learn. I want to be one of your homeboys. He said, "What do I need to do?" And Jesus said to him in Matthew 19 and 21, Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete," you might want to circle that word, "if you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Now, I am not saying, so please do not misconstrue this, I am not saying that you have to go out, sell your car, sell your boat, sell your motorcycle, sell your jet ski, sell your house, sell your furniture, drain your bank account, eclipse your 401k, give up your pension, and just give it all away. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this young rich dude, that was his priority. I want you to, if you were to read the next verse that I don't have in the notes, so you just write down verse 22 next to it and say, read verse 22. Verse 22 says, "And this guy went away sad," or sorrowful in some versions. He went away. He left. He didn't stay following because he had great possessions. Now, here's the question. Who owned who? Did he own the possessions, or did the possessions own him? The priority was the possession, not following Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I just want to add you to the mix. I want to have all my possessions and you, Jesus plus. And Jesus goes, no. It doesn't work that way. I need to become everything. It will cost you everything because he wants to become your everything. You can't just say, oh, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to add you to the mix. If you look later in Luke chapter 9, there's some scriptures that talk about this. Another one said, I will follow you, Lord. I will. But you're going to get the first in a minute. First, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is, if you look at the very beginning of that verse, it says another. That's because in verses 59 and 60, another brother wanting to follow after Jesus said, Jesus, I can do that, but first, let me go home and my parents are getting old. Let me first go home, wait till my daddy dies, wait till my mama dies. Let me bury them. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But what, it was that word first, right? First, it came again. First, that's because Jesus, when you follow him, he needs to become first. It will cost you everything because your priorities have to change and Jesus has to be first. Because if he's not first, he's nothing to you. He's really not Lord. How can you follow him if you're not focused on him? You will follow your focus, whether it's possessions or positions. You will follow where you focus. And the priorities of your life need to be surrendered to him. That's why he wrote in his beautiful Sermon on the Mount, when he was teaching them as they sat on the hillside, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then there is this lovely promise. And all these other things, everything else will be added to you. Jesus will connect you with everything if you surrender your everything to him. It will cost you everything. It's not a recipe. The recipe of life doesn't say just add Jesus. Jesus is the main ingredient. Follow your focus and make him your focus. It will cost you. Well, you know, okay, then why? Why should I respond? Why should this rich dude have responded? Why should the guy who came in Luke chapter 9, verses 59 and verse 61, why should they have responded? Because when you respond to him, when you follow him, you will gain what you cannot lose. In order to gain what you cannot lose, when I was writing the message this week, I thought of that passage and I thought of the fellow that I'm quoting it from. The fellow's name is Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a wonderful Christian brother, missionary, who went, and if you've ever read the book Through Gates of Splendor, that's about Jim Elliot. If you have seen the movie Tip of the Spear, that's really about the life of Jim Elliot and his long-lasting influence. Now, the truth is, Jim Elliot was a missionary, and he was dedicated to following where Jesus called him. And people said, listen, Jim, you are crazy to go there. Because if you go in, you know, it's unlikely you're ever going to come out. And he said, Jesus didn't call me to come out, but he did call me to go. And he wrote a great quote that this part of the point is focused on. He said these words, and you may want to look it up, you may want to write it down. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. When we give everything to him, our everything is like a little vapor, whew, gone. Pastor Holly taught a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday, and she was talking about everything just in life being a vapor, whew, gone. That is our everything. Not God's everything, but it's our everything. It is gone in but an instant. Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 and 26 says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it." If you try to hold on to it, you're going to have to get it pulled from you. Whoever loses, lets it loose, and on its own, for my sake, will find it. For what shall it profit a man or a woman if he or she gains the whole world and forfeits . Anybody ever play sports? You ever have to forfeit a game? It means you don't even get to play it. Your soul is forfeit if you try to hold on to it. But if you will surrender it to him, if you will make him the focus of your follow, he has promised to redeem you. And then the final part of that verse, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, I would tell you this. If you will give him everything, he will give you blessings that you could never achieve on your own. He will fill your heart to overflowing till it bubbles up from the depths of your soul and you cannot contain it and you just want to shout it from the rooftops, from your convertible as you're driving down to Miami Trail. Oh, Jesus is awesome! So what do you have to do? You just let it go. What are you letting go of? Let go of whatever it is that's holding you back. Whatever it is that's holding you back, let it go and then grab onto Jesus. Because when you grab onto Jesus, Jesus will never let go of you. He is holding on to you. And what does he do? He fills our life with blessings. He gives us an upgrade that we cannot understand. He gives us a great exchange. He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what he gives to us as we trust him. Now, I have some folks that have said, life with Jesus must be so boring. They're nuts. Life with Jesus is an adventure. I was talking with one of our gals here at the church after the first service, and she was telling me about some of the things that God was doing in her life recently and in her family recently, and she said, you know, every day I get up and it's just the Holy Spirit. She says, I tell people I roll by the seat of my pants because the Holy Spirit just keeps directing me all day long. And that is what he has promised. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, but he will lead you. And he will always hold you. And he will protect you. He will bless you. Now, we've been looking at this message this morning, kind of like the news. Just the facts, okay? Where, what, when, why, who, and how. Okay, let's get to the fifth question then. A couple of W's. Where and when do I begin? Oh, there's a beauty to this. A beauty to this that is no matter how far you've gone, no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how disqualified somebody else might think you are, your mother-in-law, no matter how disqualified you might think about yourself, Jesus says, follow me. Jesus invites you. Come on now. Come on now. So where and when do I begin or begin again? Right here and right now. That is exactly what he does. He gives us that invitation because he's just walking by the midst of your day. He's walking by the midst of your mourning. He's walking by in the middle of your life to say, follow me. Follow me. And how did they respond in the scripture? Those that lived that life of blessing. Those who spent time with the Savior. Well, when we were back at the very beginning in point one, Peter and Andrew, it says immediately. Again in Mark chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, and immediately they left their nets. They left behind what was holding them back. And they followed him. Luke chapter 5 and verse 28. And he left everything behind. And he got up. And he began to follow him. He began, you know how you start a journey? By beginning. You know how you restart a journey? By beginning. Beginning again. He left everything. You know, he forgot the rules. Tax collector. Forgot the rules. Forgot the rules of being disqualified. He let go, and we need to let go of religion, because you are invited. You are invited to live the life of blessing. The life of everything that he has destined for you. To start living the blessed life right here, right now. What does that mean you need to do? Let go. Let go what? Whatever is holding you back. Let go of the past. Let go of your baggage. Let go of your hurts. Let go of your addictions. Let go of your problems. Let go of your rejection. Let go of the rules. Let go of the religion. Let go of the expectations. Let go. And follow him. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. It's to find his blessing made manifest in your life. Follow him. Take the upgrade. Allow him to give you the greatest exchange you will ever be able to receive, because he longs to fill you with his blessing. He longs to become the focus of your follow. He longs to connect your heart with healing and wholeness. He longs to restore what was broken. He longs to have you receive his love until you cannot contain it. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. With your eyes closed, I just want to ask. As I've been speaking this morning, if you said, listen, I got off track. Or maybe you've never made a decision, and this morning you realize he's inviting you to follow him. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing on you. If you want to follow him, you want to begin, or you want to begin again. I just want to pray a special prayer blessing. So if you would just lift up your hand and your eyes so that I can see you. God bless you, 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 guys, gals. I'm just going to invite us all, 100% of us, to pray this prayer that invites Jesus to take control. Let's pray aloud together. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my mess ups, all my sin. I let go of my past. And I hold on to you. I invite you to become the focus of my follow. I want you to lead me, to guide me, direct me, and to bless me every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with sincerity, there's already been a change. Because God allows your heart to connect with heaven each and every day. You're a child of the Father. If you want some more help on your journey of faith, we have a little book for you that we'd love to give you. It's at the Fresh Start desk out in the lobby that says, now what? And it will help you to walk through what that prayer is about and what the next 7 days can mean to you. I also have a challenge for the rest of you that didn't put up your hand. You saw how simple it was to just share how Jesus reaches out and says, follow me. I want to challenge you this week to allow the Holy Spirit to inspire your heart to invite others to join you on the journey towards Jesus. In a few minutes, the prayer ministers are up here across the altar. If you prayed that prayer, I would just invite you to come and to connect with one of them, to pray with one of them. If you have a need in your body for healing, or a need that you just want to agree with someone in prayer, come and connect with one of our prayer partners. We're going to serve communion on the right and on the left. And if you're a friend and follower of Christ, we have an open communion. We just invite you to come and to share. Because as we remember his death, burial, and resurrection, it is until he comes. And he is coming again. Hallelujah. If you're a guest with us, we do invite you to stop back on the left side of the sanctuary. There's a VIP room. We will have some more gifts for you. Love to answer any questions. And if you're a guest, come back next week. Pastor Scott would love to just preach. And share. He's an excellent, excellent preacher, much better than me. So praise the Lord for that. As we're going to start a time of prayer, a time of worship, I just want to invite you to open your hands to receive from the Lord, because I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing. Then we're going to praise the Lord, we're going to pray, and we're going to commune. Lord Jesus, I invite you to pour down on your sons and your daughters your manifest blessing without measure as we connect our hearts with yours, with heaven. I pray that you would increase your presence in our lives. I pray that we would empty ourselves of selfishness, that you would imbue us with your Spirit. I pray that you'd bless each one as they worship, each one as they pray, be with our prayer ministers. I pray that you'd bless the cup and that you'd bless the bread as we partake of your communion. And Lord, may this week you inspire our hearts to invite others on this journey of life, the life of faith that follows hard after you. I pray your blessing on each and every one in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Come for prayer. Come for communion. If you're a guest, don't forget to stop back by VIP. Praise the Lord.